praising, self-confident, cocky culture. Yeah. Where we believe that our rights are more important than anything else, that we deserve all kinds of stuff, that we should be given honor and glory and lifted up as the most important. And we just have a bunch of cocky people in our world, don't we? That say, I can handle my life. I've got this. Just leave it to me. I can be the savior of my own life, the captain of my own ship. I am self-confident. I am human. Hear me roar. I am a somebody. And it's your job to love me and to lift me up and to make me important. And it almost makes me a little sick to my stomach when I think about what a cocky, self-confident world we live in that is failing miserably. Well, self-acknowledgement is not horrible completely. I mean, we do need to have some confidence about ourselves. We need to believe that we are of value. But the Bible teaches us this. You do want me to tell you the truth, right? I mean, you didn't come here to hear a bunch of baloney, did you? Well, good, because I'm going to tell you the truth today. God wants us to know the truth, because only the truth can set us free from all of this junk that clouds our lives. And the truth is, we are lost and needy and broken, and we can't fix ourselves. Isn't it time that our world woke up to that truth? Yeah, hello. Well, what we've been doing hasn't been working. So here's what the world says. We'll try harder. We'll try to do it right. We'll try harder. We'll get it right the next time. No, we won't. No, we can't fix ourselves. Some people believe that this is true, that if I have more good things in my life than I have bad things, that somehow I'll be okay. How many bad things does it take for us to not be okay? One, right? So this idea of trying to balance the scale or even make the scale tip toward more good is not going to take care of what's wrong. Some folks say this, I don't need God because, after all, I've been a pretty good person. What they used to say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't go with girls that do. That was an old saying. It's as if to say, I'm pretty good. Shall we take a test this morning and evaluate our life to see how good we are? Okay? Because we're talking about being made right in the eyes of a holy and righteous God that we sang about today. And in that, so we've got to shine if we're going to make this connection, right? So let's review just how good we are. In fact, why don't we start in Exodus 20? You know what's there? The Ten Commandments. Shall we start there? That's a good starting point. Maybe we can get a glimpse of just how good we are by taking a look at this. And because after all, I try to be good. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. All right, let's take evaluation. How many times have we put God to the side in order to satisfy a pleasure in our life? God, I'm just going to set you on this back burner while I serve this pleasure in my life. Okay, well, let's keep going. Maybe you're okay there. That's great. Don't make for yourself any idol in our lives. In other words, an idol is something that gets our attention, that gets our full loyalty. How are we doing in that area with our loyalties? Or are we... Well, okay, maybe you're doing okay there. Let's go on. Verse 7, don't misuse the name of the Lord. Now, a lot of times we think of that as swearing, you know, like swearing. And I told you last week that the one swearing that grinds me the most is when people say Jesus Christ in a swearing fashion. Because it is our privilege to know Him. And that grinds me more than anything. In a show, in person, whatever. But how many times, so that's what we think of, but how many times have we used God's name for selfish gain in an inappropriate way, maybe even blaming Him for something? Maybe there's different ways to misuse someone's name. How are we doing there? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In other words, it's a day for God. Okay? We used to put rules on it. You know, when I was a kid, I was not allowed to do any kind of manual labor. You know, wouldn't think of mowing the grass on Sunday. And we had these rules, and there, you know, it wasn't as focused. But here's the point, a day set aside for honoring God, resting our bodies. How have we been doing on that? Okay. Every week you've been perfect at that, right? Just, it's all about God. It's okay, well, you know, let's go on. Let's see what else we can find. Honor your father and your mother. I've seen adult people dishonor their parents. Now, you can disagree, you can do all these things, but how are we doing at holding them in high regard because of who they are, listening to them? We honor them by listening to them, listening to what they've experienced and applying it to our lives and honoring them with proper treatment and letting go of grudges and stop being mad at them and trust. And you say, well, my parents didn't deserve that. I didn't ask if they deserved it. God said, just do it. That's all we need. We're just instructions. We don't need to agree. We just need to do it. So how are we doing? How have we been doing in that area, kids or adults? Well, we could keep going. Do not murder. You might say, I'm doing great in that area. That's the one I haven't broken yet. I'm doing great. Jesus said this, if you hate your brother in your heart, it's just like you're murdering him. Oh, this is getting a little personal now. If you hold this hatred towards somebody, it's just as bad as, oh, okay, well, now it's getting a little personal here. How are we doing? You shall not commit adultery. So, don't be taking somebody else's wife, being sexually immoral, emotionally immoral, mentally. Jesus said this, if you are harboring that kind of lust in your heart, you already committed adultery. Because it starts in here. Whoa, so, okay. So my good keeps coming down a notch, doesn't it? Well, you know, I'm still up here and my bad's down here, but you shall not steal. Don't take anything that you don't have permission for or a right to. Or clearance. Or should we go back? How old are you again? You know how old you are. Let's go back that many years and start from the beginning and see how we're doing on this stealing thing. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, or you shall not lie. Shall not lie. Well, I couldn't help myself. I was in a pinch. Well, then you just broke it. Right? He didn't say, don't give bear false witness, don't lie unless you have to. Right? So how are we doing on that good scale so far? If we examine our whole lives, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. In other words, they shouldn't have that, I should have that. They don't deserve that, I deserve that. If I only could reach that status, I'd be somebody. My goal is to have more stuff than the other guys got. Better stuff than the other guys got. You know how I feel about boating. Somebody asked me the other day how I smashed the side of my car in. I said it was a boating accident. It was. I was switching the cars around to hook up to the boat, and one car hit the other in the driveway. Now I've got two dented cars. Okay, so you know, I never have a good boating story, do I? It's like, you know, but when I got my first boat many years ago, the people I bought it from said, "Now, Jim, we know each other." Said, "Jim, now realize this: somebody's always going to have a better boat than you." Boy, was he right. Man, every boat I've had, there's been one that runs better, looks better, performs better, costs less, etc., etc., etc. You know, that's the glory of getting involved in stuff, right? So when we have this mentality of I deserve, I want, you've done this, we've judged people. Shake your heads. Yeah, we've judged people by looking at their stuff. How come they're always crying poor, but they got a brand new Lincoln? Or how come they can't afford this, but they can afford that? And here I am, I can't afford anything. And we go on, we pass judgment. You know what's happening when we're passing judgment? We're breaking that 10th commandment. Really? Because our hearts aren't right. Do we walk around saying, you know what, I'm really happy for you. I'm glad you can have that. I'm glad you can enjoy that. That's not natural, is it? That's not natural for a broken man. And so we break this 10th. Now we could go on. Have we had any grudges going on lately? Have we been selfish lately in I want that and I don't want them to have it? We could go on and on down through the list about our attitudes, our actions, the things that we think, the things that we do, and I think we will discover. You said you wanted the truth, right? I think we will discover we're not as good as we'd like to think we are. Are you encouraged yet? Yeah, I'm lifting you up, making you feel better? Yeah, well, we'll get there. The truth is, we are a very needy, broken, lost people without someone to help us. And there's no one on this earth worthy to help us except for one. One holy, righteous, loving, giving, merciful God. That's our only hope. It's our only hope. So, you know, The question here today is, how do we get in on His goodness? How can we get good enough for God? Well, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 5. We find the Beatitude, what we call the Beatitudes. And I like that word because it's two-part. Beatitude. Having a be attitude. Be before God these things. And the one thing that I want to point out, or the two things I want to point out in the Beatitudes today, is this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? To be poor in spirit. That simply means this. God, I can't save myself. I can't get it right. I don't have enough good to erase the bad. God, I'm broken. I need you. I want you in my life. That is called being poor in spirit, where we realize and we admit that we aren't the answer to our own lives, let alone the world. That we have blown it. That we were born with sin in our lives. That we have given in to sin in our lives. And we need someone to rescue us from the grips and the chains of sin in our lives. I'm not good. Someone asked Jesus, called him good teacher. Remember, he said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Only God is good." And of course, Jesus, being God, could have that title. He just wanted to let him know that you're talking to me and I am God and you're calling me correctly by calling me good. So we've got a situation on our hands. The second thing in the Beatitudes is that the meek shall inherit the earth. Not the conquerors, not the aggressive, not the ones who think they can take charge and make it a better place and change my life by my own strength. No, only the meek who say, "I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the insight. I don't have the power. But God does. The meek shall inherit the earth." Wow. We say, well, that doesn't seem, it seems like the deceitful are inheriting the earth. For a season. For a season. Not forever. Not for permanent. God is going to see this thing through, and the meek shall inherit the earth. You can be assured of that. And those that are deceitful, those that are deceiving and taking and self-centered will be cast out. Do you remember there's a new heaven and a new earth coming? Are you holding on to that? And it's going to be perfect. There will be no more sin. There will be no more hate. There will be no more selfish gain. It will be perfect, and the meek shall inherit it. Wow. So we're going to have to humble ourselves. Here's what the Word of God says. If we humble ourselves and seek His face, then He comes. He renews. He restores. He sets a new in us a new creature. If we humble ourselves and seek His face. So the picture isn't too good about who we are. We ain't all that good. Sin is not a pretty thing. It's a destructive thing. It's a captivating thing. It's a sin is something that oppresses. But if we stop right there with all that's wrong, all that's not working, it's hopeless. But how does God feel about us? How does God come? How does He, you know, in spite of all this junky stuff, the love of God triumphs on our behalf. The love of God triumphs on our behalf. Woohoo! That's good news. And God considers us, you and me, made in His image to be of great value. Now, when God says that, it means something. If we just are going to be cocky and try to say we're of value on our own accord, it's not a pretty thing. You like to be around braggarts, know-it-alls, self-confident trekkers? No, we usually don't. Because we know that they are futile and unengaging. They're in their own little world somewhere. But when God says, I value you, that's a whole different story. That changes the whole picture. That starts a new hope within us. So let's go over to Matthew for just a moment. I'm kind of all over the place today. But actually, this is my key verse. Verses, Matthew chapter 13. Just a little section, and Jesus is giving parables. He's the master storyteller to make a point. And in chapter 13, beginning at verse 44, he says this: the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Now, this can be interpreted in some different ways, and usually we think of that being us who discovered that God had a treasure, and so we sold out everything else in order to get the treasure of God. But I'd like to present it in a different way this morning. I'd like to say that God is the man in the field. He found a pearl. You know where pearls come from, don't you? Pearls come from pain. An oyster has had an invader, like a grain of sand, come in and is creating pain. And as a result, it secretes the juices around that point of pain, which eventually become a pearl. So I like to think of this as God is the man in the field, and he saw a pearl that was produced out of pain. And it's of great value. So God went and sold everything he had to buy the pearl. What do I mean he sold everything he had? He gave his only begotten son as the eternal sacrifice, the most he could possibly pay to redeem this pearl produced out of pain. That's a new twist, isn't it? Now, I don't know if I got that, if I'm on track with that, but that's how it felt to me. That we are so valuable that God gave his all to buy us back. Let's go on with this parable. We're not done yet. He says this, again, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. See how they're related? One was called a treasure, one's called a pearl. Same thing. Same thing. Something of great value God brought back or bought back with everything he had to give. Now, to me, that speaks this, that God looks at us and says, you are more valuable than anything. You're more valuable than the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe. You're more valuable than all of creation on the earth. You're more valuable than the animals. You're more valuable than the trees. In fact, you're more valuable than a sparrow that falls to the ground that God notices. You're more valuable than all the riches of the earthly kingdoms. So, not to make us cocky, but to make us dependent on him, I want you to know how valuable you are. Are you with me? You are loved with a love that we can't even understand. It's so big and high and wide and deep that we cannot comprehend the full capacity of God's love. It's so big. That the creator of the entire universe, and I was reading somewhere that they think there are billions of galaxies. Now, who knows? You know, science makes a lot of claims. But that's what I read. They think there's billions of galaxies. The one who created, if it's true, but even if it's not, it's expansive. The one who created all of that would look down and love us so much that he would give his very life. Greater love has no man than this, than he gave it, lay down his life for his friend. I'll tell you what, we haven't even scratched the surface. You want to know what heaven is like? I can't begin to tell you what heaven is like. It is so encompassed with a love we cannot understand that it's indescribable. Now how are you feeling? You feeling a little better that you have a redeemer like that? That all of the stuff that's weighing us down, holding us back, confining us, enslaving us, keeping us separated from God, is taken care of by the God of all creation. We are valuable to Him. You and I are forgivable by Him. That seems impossible. Do you know how much mercy we deserve? Zero. Okay? And we're in the I have my rights, I deserve generation. Let me tell you what we deserve. Zero. No mercy. A holy God does not owe us mercy. A holy God does not owe us grace. Okay? Yet He does. So I am forgivable. You say, you don't know what's... Yeah, I don't know your life. I don't know how bad, much of that bad you've got going on or had going on or whatever. I don't know that. God knows it. And He bore it on His own shoulders on the cross of Calvary and paid for it. You're forgivable. Is there anything that can't be covered by the blood? Only one thing: unbelief. That's the only thing that can't be covered by the blood of Christ, is our refusal to believe. Excuse me. We are acceptable to God by His grace and His sacrifice, and we're usable by God. Not only does He redeem us and set us on a new place, a new plane, a new foundation, then He says, you know what? I'm going to use that vessel that I just made clean for noble purposes. How do you feel about that? For noble purposes. And if you want to know what noble purposes are, read Matthew 25. I believe it's 25. As you did it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. That whole section. Those are noble purposes in the eyes of God. A usable vessel. So I want you to leave here knowing the truth. The truth is we're broken and needy. And the truth is that God redeems the broken and the needy. Don't ever forget that. Honor Him with your life. Bruce, would you come and prepare to lead us? Excuse me. Tickle. Let us refresh our faith. Let us refresh our joy about life. Let us understand afresh and anew that Jesus came to give life to the full. And let us embrace that. So you may leave here and you say, I got to face all this junk in my life still. Yeah, the world is full of junk. Hard junk. difficult things. Yep. And you say, I feel good here, but when I leave, I gotta face all that again. You don't have to go alone. Don't go alone. Pity the man that stands alone. But you can have joy in the midst of all that stuff. You can experience love in the midst of all that stuff. You can be confident through Christ in all of that stuff, that God is for you and not against you. Do you have faith this morning? All right. Good. At least one does. Some of you shook your heads. Yeah. You have faith this morning that He really is who He is? We sang, you know the song we sang? I believe in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe that He rose again. If we're going to believe it, then let's believe it. Don't mess around with it. Believe it. And you can leave this place today, no matter what's going on out there, knowing that God loves you and He's with you and He's for you. Let's celebrate that today. Would you stand?
Spoke a word, You were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, You breathed Your life in me. So, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't turn it, I don't deserve it, still You give Yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Your foe, still Your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, You paid it all for me. Been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't turn. I don't deserve it, still You give Yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow You won't light up, mountain You won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall You won't kick down, lie You won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow You won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. The stone wall you won't kick down, the lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you'd give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
You know, when somebody loves you deeply and you don't deserve it, or they don't deserve it, it seems reckless, doesn't it? Aren't you glad God has a reckless love, that he loves that which is unlikely to be lovable? It's reckless in our eyes, that full from him. Thank you so much for being here today. God bless you abundantly. Next week, we start a new series called Recalibrate. And so how does God recalibrate us, our ministries, our everything we're about and all that we do? Sometimes things can get out of focus. You know, we kind of look away and come back and I can't get focused. Recalibrate is how to focus again on our lives. So thank you for being here today. Hope to see you next week. And God be with you always. Amen. You are dismissed.